You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Antler Up Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear. And on this week's episode, I made the trip a few minutes down the road to go meet up with a good buddy of mine, Andrew Mills, co-owner of Honey Hole Game Calls, who has already made success this year when it comes to turkey hunting out in Nevada as well as in California, which you'll get a chance to hear that conversation. You'll also get a chance to hear the importance of joining some organizations when it comes to like NWTF, Turkeys for Tomorrow, which here in the Pennsylvania chapter, Andrew's kind of leading that charge here with the Allegheny chapter out on the north, or I'm sorry, the central and western part of Pennsylvania. To go along with that, though, Andrew has been hunting turkeys for a very long time, but here's the difference. Like, for the whitetail guys that are just like nuts about whitetail, Andrew is that when it comes to turkey. And man, when you walk into his house and you go downstairs into his rec room area, you just see the turkey mounts, the whitetail mounts, where he makes all the honey hole game calls. Dude is just a great individual. Love talking shop with him and learning from him as well, which when this episode airs, I got my butt kicked in Ohio this year, where last year I had a great hunt. It was a fun hunt. It was kind of just all luck. But this year it was a good time. Went with my buddy Albert. He killed a bird first thing Saturday morning. We were in on him. I had a chance on a gobbler, which kind of scurried away. I should have just gotten up and kind of chased him, which kind of regret. But hey, you learn from it. And then Sunday was just a tough day. Birds were roosting on other properties and just were silent. It was cold, and just hunted till noon though, and then I made the trip back home. So, but that was my Ohio trip. Nothing major. Hopefully I could get a chance to go back out. But hey, we have youth season coming up. We have PA kicking off here in a couple the following week as well. So hopefully you're out there shooting your guns, getting everything sighted in, make sure you're good to go, getting your clothing all lathered up with Promethean and all that fun stuff. So enjoy this episode. Get ready for turkey season. Thanks again, everybody, for the support. And also, again, like I said, this episode is brought to you by Tethered. Check out tetherednation.com. Check out what they have when it comes to turkey stuff. You got the M2 vest, which not only did I have going, but also Albert was running. His was a little bit more lightweight, and mine was packed. I had some cameras. I had some extra layers. So it's a great piece. Check that out over at tetherednation.com. Let's get into this week's episode. We're doing it a little bit different this year, Andrew. We have the camera here actually rolling, so we got the video aspect of it. And this is actually going to be my first time doing the video in person, which, so, you know, popping that cherry. So thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
I like it, dude. Well, those of you that are new to the podcast or have been listening for a long time, Andrew, this is your third time. First one we did when COVID was all crazy and we did it remote. Last year we did it together in-house, and now this year it's an honor to come back and into the house, man. And you know, it's an honor because of everything. One, this little room, this is where you make all the turkey calls for honey hole game calls, and then you have the mounts of the turkeys and the whitetail. It's just, it's an awesome little shindigs, man. So appreciate you extending that invite back over to have me come over.
Well, thank you for having me, and I greatly appreciate it.
Oh man, dude, it's awesome. So we're recording this is April 17th, so mm-hmm. We're still a couple weeks away from the Pennsylvania state opener. Ohio's opening up this weekend for me as I'm getting out there. Maryland's opening up, and you're thinking about going to Maryland potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
But Dude, you've already on the board this year. Like,
yeah.
You're like going ham already with, with some two birds.
Yeah.
So where did you already kick off your 2024 spring turkey season already?
I went out to California and Nevada.
Yeah. And how was California? 'Cause
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole aspect of it, not just the turkey hunting, but the atmosphere. I was hunting northern California area, and it was just the sights, the mountains, the small town feel, seeing different wildlife that normally I wouldn't see. That plays into the whole aspect of traveling, and I enjoy every bit of it.
Right. So Jared Schaefer from Tethered, he's hunted out there the last couple of years. This year, I don't think he didn't get out there, but last year they killed a turkey. I think he and his buddy that they've gone out there with, his wife Amanda traveled with him. I don't think Amanda had a crack at one in California. Mm-hmm. But like he said, it's just such what you just echoed.
Beautiful.
Just unbelievable views. And then Nevada. And I remember when you sent me that picture with the text message, you're like, dude, one of the toughest states to get a bird is in Nevada. So tell me about that, just because that fascinates me when knowing what you know. To me, I'm like, wow, that's so having you tell me that it's tough, I got to know a little bit more details about that.
Yeah, it is tough. So I've been putting in for the draw for a few years. And don't quote me on the numbers, but for a non-resident to draw, I believe they only hand out 5 or 6 tags.
Okay.
So the odds are definitely against you. It's like hitting the lottery if you get one of them. So the other option is to buy a landowner tag, and they're pricey. And whenever you buy this landowner tag, you can hunt this landowner's property potentially, but that doesn't mean there's any turkey on it. Mm-hmm. So they give them the tags to the landowners that usually hold turkey, but then it's kind of on you from there to hope or go try to get permission. And that's not easy out there either. Jeez. So the odds were definitely stacked against me, and it just all worked out.
Yeah.
It was a neat experience. It was a beautiful place. I'd never been to Nevada before, and that was an extremely cool place. I enjoyed it just as much as any place that I've ever been.
How did you pack for that? Because of Northern California, obviously, could still be cool, and Nevada, certain times, it's, I know we think like Las Vegas, and it's probably pumping with heat and everything like that, but
yeah,
it
was definitely not the case. Yeah. The morning I killed my gobbler in Nevada, it was 22 degrees.
Whoa.
It was cold. At least that's what the temp was whenever I was driving out there in the morning. I'm not sure exactly what time the temperature whenever I killed it, but it was below freezing, no doubt. And packing wise, obviously, I flew out there and then got a rental car. So you're trying to condense everything into a couple bags, and one of the bags is your gun. So packing light, mainly hunting clothes, layers. I normally wear layers. That way, as the day warms up, shed layers, throw them in the vest or throw them in the car or what have you. So a lot of times you're wearing the same hunting clothes that you wore the day before, but I try to take at least one change of clothes as far as hunting apparel goes, because if you get soaked one day because of a rainstorm or something, you have something to change into while that's drying out. Yeah.
How did the hunts unfold in those two states for you? Obviously, I mean, I know you kill, but like as far as challenging cat mammals,
challenging. So I hunted 5 or 6 days with another buddy of mine, and I know on my phone now, I don't know how accurate it is, but it said in those 5 or 6 days that we hunted, I walked 53 miles. So it was challenging as far as the terrain wasn't, especially in California, the terrain wasn't the easiest, very mountainous. Trying to find them, it seemed like I didn't find them for a couple days. And luckily enough, my buddy stumbled into them and found a little pocket of gobblers and or turkey. And he killed one there, and I happened in there the next day, and I ended up getting one. And then later in the day, we got another one, and then we bounced to Nevada after that. We're not going to try to take out the whole flock. Yeah. But, yeah, so it was a very rewarding hunt. They all are, but when you put that much effort in and you're on the total opposite side of the country in a place you never step foot on, it's rewarding.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I just went next door to Ohio last year, killed that turkey, and that was my first Pennsylvania game animal that I killed. So like that was a very memorable hunt for me. One, and I told you how it had unfolded. It was quick. It had seemed quote unquote easy, but it wasn't, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's just kind of stumble on it with luck. But I mean, that bird meant a lot to me because I was like, man, this is the first animal I've killed out of state of Pennsylvania. Like that's awesome. You know,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's such a cool feeling. And coming home, like driving home, like that was, to my wife, I was like, I did this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I killed it. Like you were just joking a couple of days later for Pennsylvania. And I killed that turkey here. And I remember my wife's like, all right, so you're a professional turkey hunter now. I was like, far from that. I was like, he lives a couple of minutes down the road. There. Yeah. But no, it was good, man. And so I like that. And Nevada, so building on, so not only do you have to pull that tag, what was like their, cause our numbers high, low.
Oh, low. Low. To give you perspective, the first day, the landowner that I got the tag from, he had turkey on his property, no longbeards. So Nevada, there's not very many trees. They were all roosted in one tree. There was several. I mean, I'm talking 50 turkey in one tree, not one longbeard, two jakes, and probably 50 some hens. I think my buddy actually counted. I don't remember what he said, but I mean, that's not a good ratio. So I actually think that Nevada has to do some thinking on the fish and game part and reconsider either stopping the season to let the population grow, or I think that you need to consider bringing in the season later and letting those hens get bred, and then maybe hunting they got to do something different because the ratio is just not good. Right. And I saw it even driving around on the roads where I didn't have permission to hunt. You would see turkey, but they were mostly just hens feeding. Occasionally you'd see a jake. Ended up finding a longbeard, obviously, but not an easy task.
Yeah. Dang. That's crazy. Well, that's
– it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
That's crazy, man. So now where are you at with how many more states to go?
Oh, so Nevada actually crossed off, I think, number 20 for me.
Okay.
Long ways to go. Don't know if I'll ever get there.
Oh man, you're young still, dude.
Yeah, I am. It seems like it's so. I've been traveling since I believe it was 2011, and never even considered trying to kill a gobbler in every state until about 2 or 3 years ago. In all honesty, I just wanted to hunt. I wanted to hunt turkey, so I'd go out of state so I could hunt sooner, and then I'd try to get other places to see other areas of the country. And then this kind of gave me a goal. Seems like it's grown in popularity, and I think that's great. I don't know if I'm going to work towards it, but if I don't get it,
it's not going to be end
all. No, right? Yeah. No, because I noticed when I started trying to do the US Slam, I felt pressure and I don't like feeling pressure. Like last year, I felt pressure the whole year when I was traveling out of state trying to kill a turkey. And it's not about that. It's not about the kill. And I tried to check myself back into reality this year and go into it with a different attitude. And I'm telling myself I got to keep this attitude, or else I think I got to go about it a different way and just go back to my roots and just enjoy turkey hunting.
Yeah. Dude, there's something in that, what you just said, because I remember even a couple episodes ago, and I'm having a brain fart of who I was talking with and had that, basically that discussion where I promise you, when you let that happen, right, good things are going to happen, whether you're, whether you're going to be filling more tags or you're just going to enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you said, and it's okay to, it might've even been with Justin, when I had Justin on a couple of weeks ago, where you're going to be okay with not quote unquote filling your tag. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just, I applaud you for that because that was my mentality going into this year too. Like, you know, you had the podcast for a couple of years and you have this mentality of, I got to prove. And it's like, I don't have to prove anything.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? My joy is having this camaraderie. I'm a relationship type of individual. I love having, you know, how could we support each other type of ordeal. And that's, you know what I mean? That's the key thing. So I don't know, like guys from Tether were in Missouri this past couple of days and Jared killed another one. And like Jared already killed in down south. He's already killed now in Missouri. It's just, dude just kills no matter what what he's doing, man. Yeah. Like other species are just lucky he's not hunting them just because Jared would find a way to kill them. No doubt about it. But no, man, I applaud you to that because like you said, now it's just slowing down, enjoying it. Get the girls out here in a couple of weeks. Oh, you know what I mean? And
that's what it's all about.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's the beauty of
it. You got to reel it in and get back to the fun of it. If you start making it a job or putting pressure
right.
on before trying to even consider this super slim. So I said it about 3 years ago, I thought, that'd be cool, you know, and I'm going to work towards it. I am. But prior to that, I've been to several states where I didn't kill the first time there. It was no sweat. My buddies killed. I was part of that hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And how cool was it? I enjoyed every second of it. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, if it gets to that point, I'll just say, it ain't worth it to me.
Yeah. With the states that you have left to go to, mm-hmm. Is there any that are like you're circling? Like I just want to visit there on top of hopefully kill that turkey.
Well, I think Hawaii is definitely one. and my wife is definitely going on that trip. Yeah. She's already let me know. I think that'd be cool. I've never been to Hawaii. And there's several states that I'm looking forward to. Like I haven't hunted Montana. I think Montana would be cool.
It's beautiful, man.
The Colorado, I haven't been. I've hunted Colorado, but not for turkey. And I think that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Hunting Public from a couple years ago had that really cool video where they're in Colorado and
and
I think Ted killed one like really far back, like they they were like to get in on the birds and it was such a cool hunt and he just smacked, like it was a good video, so you try to
that's cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, so that was from I think like 2 years ago.
Okay. I found in some cool places, like I've not killed near Mount Rushmore, but in passing got to see it, you know, traveling, and Devil's Tower and just different parts of the state. Down in Florida, I've been down there, got to see alligators while I was hunting turkey. Like, how cool was that? You know, as long as they don't come near me, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a big nope on a rope for me here in Pennsylvania when you hear that with the rattlesnake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm out.
I don't like snakes.
Yep.
Luckily, I haven't ran into.
Yeah,
I run into them, but not rattlesnakes. Yeah. And I'm good with running into snakes as long as they can't hurt me.
Yeah, exactly. So now, not only were you busy with hunting out in the West Coast already this year, but man, like obviously take your dad hat off, take your husband hat off. You know, take being in the police force, take that hat off. Like just solely talking honey hole game calls, mm-hmm. and talking like hunting aspect of things. You had a busy year.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only for whitetail season, you started doing more things like within Turkeys for Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So like explain that a little bit, because you know I know in the fall was when it started really catching ground a little bit here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I caught wind of Turkeys for Tomorrow about a year ago, maybe even longer than that. Knew they existed, but didn't know much about them. And a buddy of mine, lives in Tennessee. He told me about it. He started up a chapter in that area, kind of told me what they're about. And the more I heard about it, the more I liked. And I'm an NWTF member. I support any organization that's going to help a turkey out. I'm going to support them. And what I liked about Turkeys for Tomorrow, they're kind of growing, and there weren't any chapters established here in Pennsylvania. So I thought, well, maybe I'll take the leap and try to get one started here. So I did, after speaking with my buddy and hearing what they're about. It's the way everything seems to be going. The money raised here within our chapter, it stays here. Okay. And we get to use it as we see fit, working with biologists or the Game Commission or whatever organization or people, that as long as it benefits turkey, the money we raise, we can use it towards that.
That's awesome.
And you get to see the product used here. So, after turkey season, we had a social in the fall, and it was a great turnout. There was 80 or 90 people that came up, and I think 50 or 60 of them signed up to be members of TFT just at that, social event. And then in March we had a banquet. It was a great turnout, more than I expected, nearly 200 people there. And, it was chaotic for me because I've never organized anything like that. You know, on top of all the other responsibilities in my life, I was stressed because you want to do good for the organization, and you want the best turnout possible. But at the same time, you want everybody that's attending the banquet to be happy with the product of what you're trying to promote. So. All things considered, I think it all went well, and raised a lot of money. And after turkey season, we're just going to have to sit down as a committee and get the Game Commission's input, or biologists and Turkeys for Tomorrow, and get everybody's head together. Everybody's busy right now. Right. Now it's turkey season.
Right.
So the people that care about turkey, a lot of them are hunting turkey. And that's the cool part about turkey hunters. I'm kind of bouncing around here, but the cool part about turkey hunters is, yeah, we're turkey's worst nightmare as far as predator goes, but we're also we care about the turkey that we're trying to give back to what we love doing and making sure they thrive for future. So that's what I like about Turkeys for Tomorrow. We kind of have a say what we do with the money, and we'll see where it goes. We haven't got to spend any of the money yet, but we want to make sure the money that we're spending isn't just it's used to its fullest.
Right. That's awesome, man. And I don't know of many organizations, so I can't really speak upon that, but I don't hear a lot of that, where it's staying home.
Yeah.
Right? Like where hunters and the homegrown turkeys are actually going to benefit from it. The hunters are going to benefit from it. You know, heck, even the other wildlife and could potentially, you know, benefit from it. So mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
I hope it all runs great.
I'm
sure best intentions, mm-hmm. and hopefully, like I said, hopefully everybody has fun doing it. That's the thing. Yeah. Everybody that enjoys turkey should probably benefit this or take advantage of this. And we can all work together. Like if anybody at any, they don't even have to be part of the committee. If they're hearing this podcast and they want to reach out, my number and everything's on that website. They can reach out to me. Hey, I got this idea. I have this, and we'll put it together with the committee and TFT and everybody and see if it's a possibility to happen.
I like that, man. No, that's awesome. So building upon that, Andrew, like when you look at where I remember our conversation last year, and you were saying like, you like the timing of the mm-hmm. PA, you know, season and everything along those lines. And this year we're a week back, just because the only reason why I know that is just going through some of my phone and everything like that, because it was in April, which, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But you know, you're saying about like Nevada, like how important is, you know, why is the date changing or anything along those lines? Like what's the value of, because a month ago, earlier in middle of March, you know, you're driving by a field and you just see a flock of turkeys out mm-hmm. there, or it's the end of March and beginning of April and you're I'm down at the bow shop and I'm talking to a couple people and they're like, man, I see turkeys everywhere. Like, wish the season was in now, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, poof, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is the fun aspect of it. You know, that's why we're crazy and go out hunting. But you know, like what is like, why push it later? Why are we starting later compared to other states?
Yeah. So it seems to be a trend lately for a lot of states that they're moving their seasons back, similar to Pennsylvania's. It's not uncommon. Turkey hunting popularity has grown since this U.S. Slam thing. And I credit it a lot to like Hunting Public and there's different YouTube people that turkey hunt all across the country. And it's gained popularity and nothing against anybody.
It's fun.
So other people see this and see how enjoyable it is. So they say, hey, I want to do this. So a lot of the earlier seasons, like in the South, their seasons came in first. Well, people like myself that have been doing it for years and other people seeing this on YouTube, they're driving down there. Hey, we can get started turkey hunting. I want to lengthen out my season. I'm sure they do too. Let's go to the South or whatever state comes in earlier. So they're getting pounded. And a lot of the gobblers are getting killed. And in addition to that, it's messing with the breeding cycle. So if they can get these hens bred, at least they can go to nest. And if they bring in the season later, those hens are already bred and they're nesting. And then, and also they're not competing with hunters because, okay, just this is a complete example, but if Tennessee brings in their season the same day as Kentucky, the Kentucky people are going to stay in Kentucky and hunt. Tennessee people are going to stay in Tennessee to hunt. Okay, on the other aspect, Tennessee used to bring in their season 2 weeks earlier than Kentucky. Where are the Kentucky people going to go hunt, start their season earlier? So they're going to go to Tennessee. I mean, theoretically, that's what happens. And people were seeing 15 years ago, turkey populations were skyrocketed. There was turkey everywhere. So it's caught the attention of people that, hey, there's not as many turkey around. We got to make some changes. And I think they're changes for the good. Does it benefit me as a traveling turkey hunter? No, but it benefits the turkey. So that's great. And I'm glad a lot of agencies are seeing that they're recognizing that there's potentially issues. Let's see how this all plays out as far as if the population comes back or if there's things that needed adjusted. But I think a lot of people, they see the popularity. They see that there's money to be made in turkey hunting. They see that people care about the turkey now, which is awesome.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, cause like you flip it like on the whitetail side of things and you know, I guess this just might be like my train of thought. My thought process is, you know, if you go to, you're waiting that draw for Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. You know, depending on where you go, I don't know numbers off me, like how what's the population of whitetail in certain units, all that type of stuff, right? But like, think about like when you have to draw for, you know, it's easy with a 1-point mule deer in Utah. I know it just bounced around, but like compared to for the type of caliber, if you wait 14 years for another unit in Utah, that's a mile down the road where I hunted before, is a 14 point compared to a one point.
Right.
And we're driving, you see the difference. I'm looking at spikers that I could hunt compared to over 200 inches with a herd of them. Right. You know what I mean? So it is a world of difference. But what that's doing now for turkey is, like you were saying, is it's allowing, you know, I want to go hunt somewhere if I'm going out of state or something like that, where obviously my chances okay, pretty good, right? Better than average, but I want to hear, right? Like that's the difference between all the with turkeys, we hear them, like that's what's so awesome about it. So if you're going somewhere and chasing your tail and you're not seeing turkey, you're not hearing them, who's going to go back?
Right.
Right. So like you said, it's important for organizations and states to get it regulated. So then that way, okay, hey, we have a great population, come hunt. We're going to, you know, keep things you know, here we're going to set these regulations and allow this many tags. Like you were saying about Nevada, I'm sure you're like, thank God I got that one done.
I was.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the price tag.
Yeah. Price tag and just the, what you were seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't seeing many gobblers. I saw a handful and it's tough. Personally, I didn't see a lot of other hunters, but the week I was there the second week, and I heard there was a ton of hunters there the first week, and then there was a snowstorm that happened, and then I went right after the snowstorm. Gotcha. So I don't know what's there now, but they got to do something. They have to. I mean, I'm fortunate. I would go back just to see the views and to experience that again. As far as turkey hunting, there's a lot of BS in my opinion with it.
That's what I'm saying though. Like, you know what I mean? Like things like that it's important to do that. I mean, heck, I don't know how many times, I'm sure you hear it a lot, you know, cause I'm whitetail and 365 with one spring and, you know, hits. I'm all about turkey as well, but you're turkey 365.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So like, I'm sure you hear, oh man, the northeast part of Pennsylvania, certain spots, there's no turkey here. Then you get, you know, west of 80 and they're everywhere type of ordeal. So, I messaged him today. We're just chit-chatting. I was like, man, there were a lot of deer out last night. He's like, yeah. He goes, oh, this morning I saw my first turkey already. You know what I mean? Like he finally saw one. We went up this past weekend. I just was shooting the gun up at the range at the club and everything like that. And there's a couple old spots where, man, that's a good dust bowl location area. Mm-hmm. And just see some tracks, nothing. And it's just
that's
where
what I mean.
And I used to cut my teeth all the time up there when I was a young kid with him. And we used to see, Andrew, there were so many turkeys as a kid up there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No.
They definitely need help. And I hope, this sounds selfish, I hope it's a trend that everybody's after. Like, I get it. It's fun. That's why I do it. But I hope it's a trend because COVID didn't help.
Right.
Everybody's off work.
Yeah, everybody's,
you know what I mean? Everybody's off work. And that year killed a lot of turkey. But
except me that year.
thank you.
Yeah.
The turkey appreciated.
Dude, and I hunted a shit ton that year too. I was clueless. I mean, that was like my first time without my dad going again for a while and not having someone really to go with. And I wasn't like gung-ho as I am now too about it. And I know it's only 4 years ago, but I was still coaching and obviously we didn't have that year, but I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go out. I messed up on every single one. I had some in range. There was one where I think I was with the bow at the time. I was like, oh it'd be cool to try to get, you know, I was just an idiot. And then next, you know, I just see one running away. I was like, oh my gosh, if I had my shotgun, I could have killed the you know what I mean. There was just so many mishaps that I had that year. But you know, then it's slowly built into last year and stuff like that. But yeah, back at home, man, there's Northeast PA. I mean, Tim got one last year, but he was in on a couple, and he's like you, man. Like, he's a diehard turkey hunter. He's hunted all over a bunch of different states and really good at turkey hunting. Mm-hmm. And then he had to work for it back at home a little bit. So
I personally come this time of the year try not to get on social media as much. I just don't. I know how I hunt turkey, and I don't know. It's all different now. Social media is great. I don't know what I'd do without my phone now, but it's kind of nice. I'd like to go back to paper map days and looking on the internet and printing out directions on how to get to a place and go back, because I bet you it'd be a lot tougher for a lot of people.
I'm sure it
would. Pull up Onyx right now and you can see elevation. You can see a high point where you want to listen. You can see where a river is. You can see all kinds. You can see, heck, it has on there now, like where the oaks are. And I mean, it's great.
Where
it's a huge asset. Huge. I use it all the time, but it definitely aids the hunter.
Yeah. So like, all right, so we have a couple weeks left, right? And someone's just like, oh man, I want to maybe get into turkey hunting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or this is my first year, kind of like how I was a couple years ago, thinking like on my own again. Don't remember jack of what my dad kind of taught me when it came to turkey hunting, just because I just followed in his footsteps type of ordeal. When we're preseason scouting now, you get a late jump. We're only 2.5 weeks away, basically. Mm-hmm. What should someone be doing?
Scouting.
So what are they doing scouting? Are they listening, or should they, you know what, like looking, you know what I mean? Cause like my mind, the way I would think about it, mm-hmm. someone new coming in, it's just like, well, there's still 2 more weeks to go. This turkey here that I saw could be totally, are they staying or are they going, or, well, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it could be. Some are going to be in a general area. Some are going to venture off and follow whatever, wherever the hens are. I do stuff different than a lot of people. And I say that because I've learned so much from doing it, but I'm so driven by hunting turkey. I found out so much by just going out, listening, finding a high point, an area that looks good to me as far as turkey habitat. And I can't really define that, but you've been in the woods where you think, oh, there's some grapevines. There's some areas where it's thicker, where they could be nesting and brooding. And, those are areas where hens would want to be. You want to go where the hens are going to be, cause that's where the gobblers are going to be. But I said, I do stuff different for years. One of my turkey hunting idols, he's not a hunter anymore, he just films, is Denny Galvis. And he's local. He lives in, about an hour away from here. And I've watched all of his videos. He has videos on tactics for turkey hunting. It's phenomenal. He's a world champion turkey caller, and he calls in turkey all the time. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that before season, because I've learned so much by calling in turkey. And this, a lot of people are going to say, oh, he calls in turkey, spooking them all. And I get it. You're not going to, this is going to be a split decision as far as who agrees with me and whatnot. And I don't really care, but I've learned so much by calling in turkey before season, and their habits and where they like to travel and how they like to come into a call, that it's aided me so much. Now, I'm saying, if you're just the guy that wants to go out and you're listening to this podcast and you're going to go out 2 times, probably not going to benefit you at all, you know. But me being just obsessed with turkey hunting, I've just learned so much from it. And I've also learned that I'm killing the same turkey that I'm calling in before season. And the reason I'm doing that is because I'm not intentionally, I mean, it's happened before, but I'm not generally spooking any of these turkey. Those turkey come in, they will stand there for sometimes an hour just gobbling, like, you were just here, where are you at? And what I've learned from Denny is, I've talked to him on the phone. I've never got to meet him in person, but I've talked to him several times, where he's taught me, well, it's not uncommon for a hen to walk off with another gobbler. It's not uncommon for a hen to say, I don't want no parts of you, I'm gone. It's not uncommon for a gobbler and a hen to be talking back and forth, and a coyote comes in and spooks that hen, or a hunter. They see people. Now, I think it would do damage as far as if you're calling and then you're jumping up and spooking this gobbler. Yeah, they're going to be weary of that then. But they're, it's not uncommon for a turkey to show up and hen's gone. Yeah. So I think if they might say, huh, that doesn't look right over there, and kind of mosey off, but it's breeding season, and they don't have their smartest, they're not the sharpest at that point.
Yeah. So like when you were talking about like your experience in scouting and getting out there, and you're talking about like you're looking at things on the map. So when you are mm-hmm. boots on the ground and you get into that spot and you know, okay, either I heard a turkey in this location, like what pieces of the terrain are mostly there that you're looking for, or that mm-hmm. end up like, yep, here we go, because that, you know, that is that shredding area or whatever it be. Yeah. Like, are there certain things where you're just like, bingo?
I like high points. I like high points to listen from, especially first thing in the morning.
Okay.
I like little creeks or access to water. Turkey's got to have some water. I like transition areas where there's woods, fields, where they can go out, strut, come back into the woods. I personally like, I have a lot of success windy days, getting in the bottom somewhere, a creek bottom or just a regular in a hollow or a valley or something where I can hide out of the wind. And I think the turkey do the same so they can hear and they can communicate. It all varies, but I like transition areas and high points. And I hunt a lot with my ears and I hunt a lot, obviously, with my eyes, but looking for sign. If I'm seeing sign in a certain area, whether it's diggins, I call them diggins, but where the turkey are feeding and I'm seeing scat or from maybe a roost tree of some sort, those are the signs that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I like that. So kind of like the same thing for whitetail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you just kind of go after it that way. I like that. But so like how you handling pressure? Because I mean, for me, I mean, in all reality, if I didn't stop and do what I was doing and heard that, I was going back home. Cause I was right. like every spot there was either a truck or multiple trucks.
Yeah. It's tough. It's discouraging to be honest, because being a diehard, you know, a lot of these vehicles that you're seeing, they're probably only hunting a couple of days and then they're done. And I get it. I don't blame them. They have work. They have other obligations. They're not a diehard. But there's not much you can do. You find a spot. Hopefully you did do a lot of scouting, or in the past you know of a gobbler or turkey were in a certain area that were further back in, where maybe you can hit them from a different angle, go around, park a different spot, and hike in from another direction and get to them. I notice people tend to be lazy and don't want to, a lot of guys. And now I've been back in places where I thought nobody's going to be back in here. And next thing you know, there's
boom.
And there's a guy back in there and you're like, oh, where'd you come from? And
yep.
I parked over here and you're both miles back in at that point. But getting back in doing legwork is,
cause that's the tough thing too, because like you were saying, they are lazy, right? Mm-hmm. Even though they might get up early, they still may not be walking.
Oh, they might not make it a couple hundred yards from the truck. That's what I mean. Yeah. And I think that's more, I think that happens more than it doesn't.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I've had similar instances, like, hey, where'd you park at? And I'm like, well, I saw your truck. I wanted to park there, but came in from the total opposite direction. He happened to be a guy that was hiking way back in as well. So give him credit. And I hiked in, and you're going to have that occasionally, but it's public ground. I mean, ethically, I don't go parking next to other people and hunt in the same spot, but it happens all the time. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been at a hunting area that's public, park there. I'm the first truck there. I come out. There's six, not just trucks. One truck there. There's several. I mean, it just happens.
Yeah.
And it happens with not only turkey hunting, but it happens with deer hunting all the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of expected, to be honest. It doesn't even faze me anymore.
Yeah.
If I know if I'm going to hunt first couple days or the first two weekends of turkey season on public, just assume I'm going to be running into people.
Yeah, that's the tough part. Like that was, I mean, I knew going into that last year and all that type of stuff, but like seeing it again, like again doing it also like by myself,
right?
Also not just like having, you know, you and I going out where we're just, you know, hopefully you get one, whatever it be and whatnot. And so that was a little interesting on my end for sure, just because again I was like, wow, truck. I was like, all right.
It's crazy.
And I was like, cause you know, whitetail and on the podcast, we talk about having plan A, B, C, D, E, and F, G. And like within 5 minutes, that's what happened my turkey morning. And I was like, shit, where am I going to go? I'm going down to Z now because I just got to turn around and I'm going to go to this first spot that I've checked out and heard one
right.
a while, you know, a couple weeks ago. And actually on my way, when it got more light out and it was still raining a little bit, I was like, well, I'll go walk around. I'll go kind of deer scout, because I knew of hunting back this one location a couple like years past, and I found like a little rinky dink shed. I was like, well, there's my consolation prize for the day. Right.
Yeah.
And then as I was walking through certain pockets and finding like some really good deer sign, as far as like scrapes and stuff like that, I came to a bunch of turkey feathers and all that stuff. I was like, dang. I was like, I don't know if predator got it or from the youth seasons, you know what I mean? Type of ordeal,
which is hard to tell.
I was like, well, I wonder if that was a gobbler that I heard like last week type of ordeal. But no, man, that was probably, again, eye-opening for me, was like seeing the pressure and like how to manage with that. And plus too, I mean, when I would hunt a lot with Dimitri and his dad, like for turkey to like a couple years prior, I mean, I won't forget one time we set up, I was filming him and it was like a call battle. And then finally we were like, we looked at each other, we're like, that's another guy. No doubt. You know what I mean? It was just like, going back and forth. I was like, that's not a real turkey.
It can be frustrating. Unfortunately, growing up in this area, and I've gotten permission. I know some landowners that give me permission, especially
with the girls, man.
I'm telling you, if you say, hey, I got a young daughter that wants to try to kill a turkey. I'm all for it. I'd rather them shoot them than me anyway.
Right, exactly.
So it's much more of a rush.
And that was the other aspect of like when I took her out last year, it was like, okay, honey, we're going to go out when it's daylight, you know, just because again, like at the areas that I scouted, up until that point, they were burned. you couldn't access that road. And so I was like, we went to a whole different spot and it was already 3 days until that opener hit. So I was like, well, let's just see what I could find. And there was already trucks like with young kids, which was great. You know, it's cool to see them. And I I was like, well, we'll go out late morning and just see what we do. We'll just go out in the woods and you could carry that gun around and have fun, kid.
Yeah.
Type of ordeal. And that's what we did.
That's what
like,
it's all about.
We had a lunch break, you know, a little snack break, you know, did some cool things and together. And that was nice. But dude, she really wants to kill a turkey though. She's gung-ho and, you know, I don't know.
You go and knock on some farmer's door and say, hey, I got a 9-10-year-old daughter that wants to try to kill a turkey.
Yep.
They're going to feel a jerk if they say no.
Yeah.
There was a couple of years ago. Actually, it was the day my oldest daughter killed her first gobbler.
Okay.
I ran into a couple guys. It was the first day of the season, and they were from out of the area, but they had a young kid with them. And I was like, this is awesome. Any other day, I would say, hey, mind if I tag along with you and I'll try helping you guys. Like, and they don't know me. Yeah. They don't know. Heck, I could be Joe Schmo, but I dedicate a lot of time into turkey and I knew the area, so maybe I could be an asset to them.
Yep.
And they weren't familiar with the area. They just kind of happened to, they told me they were from out of the area. And long story short, ended up giving them a couple calls because I was just starting up Honey Hole. We had probably, this was 2020 or so. Gave him a couple calls. They had this young boy with them. Anyway, my daughter ends up killing her first gobbler a couple hours later. I get a message not long, within a week, that little boy, they called in a turkey using my calls for that little boy. And it was the coolest thing ever. Yeah, and now they buy calls all the time, like, but it's such, I'll never forget it. Like, how cool is that? I got to meet that kid. I got to meet these people. I got to give them some calls. They used my calls calling his first turkey.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's what it's about. There's you know, not to get into more rabbit holes about that, but Rob from Tethered, there was a situation where a father and a son made a post, a comment on a post, and people just like ripped on them, like just total assholes, like just were ripping on this dad and son about something. And I mean, I get the point, but it was uncalled for. And the dad and the son were awesome. We got a chance to meet them at the Pennsylvania Outdoor Show, just like down to earth people, right? He has a young teenage boy, and Rob's invited them up to New York to come turkey hunting this year. You know what I mean? Nice. Like, he just built this relationship with him. I was just like, dude, like, that's not cool to go and tack this dad and his son about something just because they asked a certain type of question. You know what I mean? And now this cool relationship is being built where Rob's like, hey, come on up. Let's hunt. Like, you know, and that's the type of people that, you know, you like to surround yourself with.
Having the call company has built relationships for me, which are very valuable to me. And it's just been very rewarding. Occasionally I'll get some pictures of people shooting turkey with a call I made, or just giving me feedback, or want to tell me their hunting story. And obviously I like turkey hunting, so I want to hear a turkey hunting story. So it's been so cool. But I will say, being a turkey hunter for quite a while now, turkey hunters are big critics of other turkey hunters and how they do it and how they like enjoy their hunt. And even myself, I can be that way. I don't know. Everybody has their own style, and everybody thinks theirs is better than the other person's, but
I you know, coming from an outsider, right? Because like I said, I grew up hunting, you know, was go sit here, listen and talk and just kind of basic stuff. And like I said, we grew up and we had a bunch of successes as a young kid. And then I grew up, right? I was more, baseball was really important in middle school, high school and college, you know, all that type of stuff. So it got away from me for so long. And it was just like, I forgot it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the last couple of years of doing this, it's just been really cool to just see where, like, again, it's not like you were saying how people have that. Like, I told you my Ohio hunt. Like, I wish it was there coming out along the field, right? I wish he was strutting, you know, doing all that stuff. And it was like, no, like, we were making a move, and next thing you know, I saw a gobbler, and he got behind a bush and lifted up his head, and I knew it was him, and I blasted him. Like, that's just how it worked out. Like, I can't, what am I supposed to do about it? I went to Ohio to kill a turkey, and I did, right? It wasn't it's not exactly how I, quote unquote, would have loved to have dreamed it up.
Right.
But thinking back, even as a youth, as a kid, I think I've only killed two turkey where it was like he came in strutting and doing gobble in his head off. Other times, man, it's been, there'd been dead silent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, where are you at? And I'm like, I get lucky.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, man, like you said, and that goes for whitetail.
That's everything.
Everything. You know what I mean?
And you get on, if you get on Instagram, Facebook, there's always going to be call them keyboard warriors will just tear people apart. And I was in a couple like episodes of a good turkey hunter, a friend of mine, and he runs a turkey hunting channel, and just seeing some of the I follow him. I've been watching him forever, and it wasn't necessarily any of the episodes that I was really in, but just seeing the comments that people put, it's like, why do you even waste your time?
When I think the moment that I, as far as that stuff goes, and I try not to get involved with it or read them or anything like that, but there was one where Tethered posted a video that I made for doing like the backside shot, and I was just showing him how I do that, like, what are my steps, and someone commented, and totally anti-hunter, right? Just like had some weird logo as their picture, and were like, too bad he didn't get his neck wrapped harder or something around the rope and like died. And I was like, wow,
that's
aggressive. What you're dealing with. I was like, that's aggressive. Like, once I saw that one where someone hoped I died, that never met me, no clue who I was like, cool. Like, yeah. And then after that, I was like, I don't, whatever. Have fun. If you have the, I don't know, if you have the energy to want to type something like that, then go do something else.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You know what I mean? Like, and the sad part is, it's not just hunting. Like, it's everything.
It's everything.
If it's in cooking, it's in fitness, it's in whatever world. Mm-hmm. It's, you know,
there's always haters for everything.
It was funny because I was listening to, I was catching up on some podcasts, and I listened to the Rogan, Ranella, and Cam Haynes episode. And for a while, like, you know, a couple of years ago when Cam was doing Cam stuff, it was cool. And then I was like, it wasn't my cup of tea anymore. And now I'm 36, going to be 37, and just seeing the shit he's doing, it's like, I don't care if he's taking anything or not. That shit's impressive, right? Yeah. Like, it's pretty, it's unique. It's, you know, there's not, who else is doing what he's doing? No one, right?
Right.
So, of course, he's going to have haters and stuff. But, so I was listening to the podcast, and they were saying about how hunters in general, how we have that tendency of, because we're all men, the testosterone, right? We're competitive, and you're like, frick that guy because he's has success. And it's like, I'm the total opposite, right? Like, good for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, younger me would have been. Now I'm like, hey, man, like, get after it, right?
Yeah.
Type of ordeal. And it was interesting to hear, like, how I said it's in fitness, it's in no matter what. Rogan said how there's comics out there that, like, try to tear down other comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what?
Right.
Like, it's, so it doesn't matter what you're in. Someone's just always going to try to tear you down.
No doubt.
No doubt about it. Well, Andrew, here's the one other last question that I would like to ask before we wrap things up. And that is, you know, some of those mistakes, right? Mistakes happen as far as like, I messed up. Like, I should have had more patience, right? I shouldn't have made that. Even on my PA gobbler last year when I was like, okay, that was about 15 minutes. That was about 20 minutes. I think I could skirt slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only did I find out as I would skirt slowly, those turkeys were coming back to me. And we played this like accordion, ying, 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 kept, you know, kind of going back and forth. And finally, I was like, I got behind some, almost like a made an L of fallen big old tree trunks. And I got right in that crook of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? It's 10 o'clock. I'm staying here until noon. And that's what I did. I'd slowly. And then once I started scratching, that's what did it. So my mistake was I was getting too, I didn't have enough patience, too aggressive with it. What are some other common mistakes that hunters should try to avoid?
Patience is a big thing. Patience are going to kill. If you have patience, you're going to kill more gobblers than a guy that's being more aggressive. It kind of goes back to the scouting thing. I've called in so many gobblers because I'm doing it before season is beginning of March.
Okay.
And I'm learning that. I'm learning how to set up on a gobbler. I hate to encourage other people to do that because if you're not going to do it the way, if you're going to spook the gobblers, it's
you're doing it wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've just learned so much from doing it that way. Good setups are key. Get where a gobbler wants to be.
Okay.
If you notice a gobbler is, you're behind a gobbler, he's kind of working in one direction, you're going to want to circle way out around and try to get in front of him most of the time. He's headed in a direction for a purpose, whether it's following the hen or he just wants to get to a location where he normally goes every day to strut or who knows, or where he thinks there's hens over that way. Location of a setup and getting to where gobblers want to be are going to just
hammer
kill
you down.
Yeah, that's going to kill gobblers. Being in the right area at the right time is key.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's kind of like a rapid fire here. Are you still using the same gun?
Yeah, using the same gun.
All right, what was it again?
TriStar.
Okay.
Yeah, 12 gauge. I think it's TSA.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably 10 years old or so.
Okay. And if you could see that smile, the teeth are still there.
Yeah, the teeth are still here, yeah. So I was using mag blends up until this year. A good friend of mine, he started making or loading TSS and he's adamant that I got to use him. So both turkey I killed in California, Nevada were with his shell. So,
Did the job.
It did the job and he did a good job and they patterned great for me. And yeah, I'm still using the same gun. The camo is getting worn off on the stock.
That's all right.
I mark a notch in the fore end of it every time I kill one and I'm up somewhere around the 60s or 70s
Dang.
With that gun. So it's been good.
Now, okay. So now with you killing as many turkeys as you have, what are you doing with the turkey? So like,
okay,
let's,
as far as, as far as field dressing the turkey, breasting it out, keeping thighs, legs.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes I'll keep the fans, Sometimes I won't. It just depends if I'm on a trip. Like I brought my California turkey fan back with me.
Okay.
Nevada gobbler. He was a little beat up, but I didn't end up bringing that one home. I bring the legs with the spurs and the beards always
yep.
home.
Yep.
And what I have been doing recently, because I haven't done it forever, is taping them all together and kind of marking what state.
Yeah.
But my goal is, if I ever do complete the US Slam, I would like to get a map, and I'm big on getting a nice picture with the turkey and just each state have that picture in the state. Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
Nice, man. What's your go-to meal with them?
Recently, it's grinding them up, mm-hmm. a lot of them, and making white chili and burgers and ooh, different things like that.
Yep.
On trips, if we're eating them while we're on a trip, if we have access to a stove and whatnot, we'll I learned this from an old timer that still hunts with me occasionally. Buttermilk, soak them in buttermilk for a while, and then get them out, bread them.
Yep.
And then fry them in a pan, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. Salt, pepper, breading, butter.
Oof.
That's good.
All right. So last one. So going back, we're going to go back to like the first 10 minutes. We were talking about how busy you are this past year, obviously, with doing the turkeys for tomorrow, but and then working honey hole game calls. And mm-hmm. man, it's, to me, I'm seeing it a lot more. Right. Like, which is awesome.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And, you know, I'll even be driving somewhere now and I see someone has the decal or something like that. And so that's awesome. So how has that been going for you?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's busy. Seems like every year we gain a little bit of popularity. I'm not one that's going to post a whole lot of stuff on Instagram. And actually I just, a friend of mine, he said, hey, he takes phenomenal pictures, does great videos. He's like, if you don't mind, like I'll run your social media. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like you can have at her, buddy. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So we'll see if he can, social media is huge. I mean, it is absolutely huge getting the word out there. It's just something I don't have the desire to do. I enjoy
doing this.
Yeah, I enjoy making calls. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy hearing the success stories or the stories in general. But I don't enjoy how some companies, and I'm not saying this to offend any of them, but I don't want it to be about me, or I want it to be about the calls. I want it to be about the turkey. So a lot of my posts, I hardly ever post anything up till my buddy taking it over. It would be about my kids or something similar to that. Yeah. And occasionally I'd throw a video of me turkey calling just because I want to say, hey, we have a turkey call here, you know.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, I don't know about that, but I try to act like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been great. It's been busy. It seems to be gaining popularity. The nice thing I see is once it seems like we sell a call, those same people seem to be repeat customers.
Right.
And it's really cool. And then occasionally people can leave a note whenever they order online and you'll say, hey, so-and-so referred us, said your calls are great. And that stuff like that's cool.
That's awesome, man. Dude, I like it. So where could people check out Honey Hole Game Calls and all that? And do the turkeys for tomorrow too, again, plug that.
Yeah. So we have a website. It's www.honeyholegamecalls.com. Mm-hmm. And you can purchase anything online. We have Facebook. It's the same, Honey Hole Game Calls. Instagram, same thing. As far as turkeys for tomorrow, they have the whole organization has a website, if you type turkeys for tomorrow into Google, it's going to pop right up. But our chapter is, on Instagram, we're the Allegheny chapter of TFTF. So if you would search that in Facebook or Instagram, you'll find it. But also, if for some reason you can't find it, if you go under Turkeys for Tomorrow, they have my phone number and everything listed on there.
Awesome, man. Dude, it's a pleasure talking turkey. You fired me up even more. I'm ready. Like, Ohio can't get here soon enough in PA, and hopefully we have some fun knocking some birds down, man.
Well, good luck.
Thanks, man. You too.
Yeah, thank you.
You're already rolling. You got your two down. Now it's going to be icing on the cake to get some more.
Hopefully. I'm excited for Youth Day.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's going to be great.
Now, how many girls are you taking out this time?
My oldest daughter they're all playing softball. Yeah. Oldest one plays league ball and travel league ball. That she has a travel league tournament on Youth Day. I'm sorry. It's the first day of the season. So I'm going to try to get her out for Youth Day. But I'll take them all. Last year on the first day, I had all three of them. Yeah, and my dad helped me. And Tony, he's in TFT and Honey Hole with me, so he was there. So everyone had a girl, and we're kind of all just...
Yep, who killed?
Nobody. My Lydia miss. She got a shot. That we had turkey in. She had a shot. It was a tough one. Yeah, it's always fun. Yeah,
dude, that's awesome. I like it. Well, good luck, and I appreciate you extending this invite again.
Anytime. Thank you for having me on again. It's a pleasure.
Keep doing what you're doing, because it's fun to watch, and it's fun to support, and I highly encourage people to check out and of what Honey Hole game calls are. They're easy to use, and if I can kill a turkey using them, then then people could definitely do it. So thanks again, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Check out Andrew and everybody else over at Honey Hole Game Calls. We'll see you next week. Antler Up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Go Wild, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.